The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
There with verse 33, Jesus is actually on trial before Pilate. Pilate is struggling here with his innocence and whether he should send him to crucifixion or set him free. And Jews had accused him of being a king, and so Pilate asked him, he said, "Are you really the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, and he said, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or should others tell you this about me?" And Pilate answered, "I'm not a Jew. Am I, your own nation and your chief priest, delivered to you me? What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." And therefore Pilate said unto him, "So you are king." And Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I've been born, for this I've come into the world to testify to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel's had a vision from the Lord. God was sitting on the throne. He called him the Ancient of Days. Then in chapter 7 and verse 13, he says, "And I kept looking into the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of the heavens, one like unto the Son of Man." That was Jesus' favorite term for himself. "One like unto the Son of Man was coming, and he came up to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples and nations and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which does not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We pray that we, through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, you would open your word to us and we might grasp the importance of living under your lordship as a part of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we ask it. Do you really want your life to amount to something in this world, for it to be important, to be significant, have a purpose, a meaning, some kind of significance in life? If we talk about that, well, most people automatically say, "Yes, I want to make a difference. I want my life to be different. I want to be able to have some kind of real purpose and understand why I'm here and where I'm going and what I'm doing." Well, my whole point is this morning in this message is there's only one way that's ever going to happen. If we live our lives in the way God intended for us to live it. We were created by God for God. We were created to live in relationship with God. We were created to live for Him and to give Him purpose. And folks, life can never be what we want it to be unless we live it as God intended. Our lives are never intended to be lived under the rules and the feelings and regulations of this world. Rather, they're intended that we be live under the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives. And once we're saved, I mean, we're really born again. I'm not talking about, you know, there's so many people in this world today talk about having an emotional experience with God. They've joined the church. They do all these things. My heart breaks because I see so many people living in disobedience to the Lord today. And, you know, it throws up all kinds of red flags and say, you know, that I really worry about most of the church being lost today. People not having a relationship with Christ. They claim to know Him, but they don't live for Him. They don't honor Him. They don't serve Him. They don't live under His kingdom. The Bible says when we get saved, we're new creatures in Christ. There's something changes and we are, you know, the old things have passed away and new things have become. And I see so many people who claim to know Christ who live just like the world and have attitudes just like the world. They think just like the world and there's not any real difference in their lives. Folks, when we get saved, something ought to happen. We're born again. It changes us, changes who we are, changes how we live, changes how we think, changes everything about our lives. And everything has to be, if we're going to be everything God wants us to be and live life the way that God intended for us to live it, then we have to bring it under submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, the very first message Jesus ever preached. After Jesus had gone and been baptized by John the Baptist, he went into the wilderness and faced the temptations of Satan. And then when he came out of that wilderness and he walked into town, the very first message he proclaimed in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Turn from the ways, our ways. Turn from the ways of the world. Change of mind that results in a change of lifestyle. And ultimately surrender to the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is here. The word kingdom literally means rule or reign. So therefore the kingdom of God is the rule or reign of God. God's kingdom is all-embracing. It ultimately rules over everything there is. In fact, we can define God's kingdom as the comprehensive rule over all of creation. Now, but there's a unique sense in which we enter into the kingdom of God, and God calls us to enter into his kingdom. And so when we get saved, part of what it really means to be, to repent of our sin and to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is that we enter into the kingdom of God. In a very unique sense, we're part of that kingdom which God expects us to live under his lordship so that we can, you know, trust him. Our lives can have significance only as it's lived in relationship under the kingdom of God. Where we allow God to rule our lives. Folks, when we got saved, there should be no question, when we got saved, if we're genuinely saved, genuinely born again, we are never the same again. God changes our lives. We live differently. We act differently. We think differently. Everything about our lives is different. And, you know, it isn't, and we're not to be tied down to the thinking of the world any longer, but we're to be living under the lordship of Christ and obeying his commands and his rules and his wills. Now, when we grasp that, Jesus says, I have a kingdom, and my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it was an earthly kingdom, he said, my disciples would be, my followers would be rising up and fighting that I might not be turned over. But it is not an earthly kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. And he said, an eternal kingdom. And he said, I'm giving up my life. I'm surrendering it to the will of God. I too am living under the will that God has in the rule of this world. He wants to redeem people, and so therefore I'm coming to be obedient to God's will, and I give my life to die on the cross so that, you know, of the advancement of the kingdom of God. He will reign as king. And now that has all kind of implications for us as Christians who are really born again. You know, God, number one, God has a plan for our lives. We don't ever need to be mistaken about that. God just didn't put us here haphazardly and say, okay, now I've saved you. You know, you're going to miss hell and you're going to make heaven, so you can go kind of do whatever you choose to do and want to do and whatever from that point on. But I'll tell you something, when God saves you, he has a plan for your life. He has somewhere he wants you to go, something he wants you to do, and he's called us into service. We are not limited to live our lives like the rest of the world. We're set free from that. We can live on a better and a higher plane than what the world lives on. When we're saved, the kingdom of God will set up in our heart so that it can direct our lives and give us direction as to how we are to live. And if we live as a part of the kingdom of God, folks, we're to live by his agenda, his rules, his heart, his regulation, his plans, his program, his will. It is no longer about us, but it is about him. Our feelings, our wants, our lacks, likes, our dislikes, our opinions, you know, to be honest, they mean nothing. It is what does God want for us. Folks, as the people of God, we're to live according to God's will in our lives. And then as a church, as a collective body of believers, You know, if we who are born again and brought together into a family of believers, then we who are the church, we are to be committed primarily to one thing, and that is advancing the kingdom of God in this world. We're to be his witnesses, and we're to be sharing so that God's kingdom can be built up into this world. Now, there's a lot of other things we do. Love each other, fellowship, meet needs, minister, do all kinds of other things. But bottom line, if it wasn't for carrying out the mission of God and bringing people under the rule of God in this world, there's no reason for us to exist. Talk about that kingdom, God's agenda. The kingdom of God, primarily, you need to understand, it flows from God. He is the source of all those things that originated with God. It is indeed, as Jesus said, Jesus made it very clear when he was talking to Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. It is of a different realm. And the things that's wrong with the world today and the church today is that we're trying to do things from a human realm and a human perspective and a physical perspective rather than for a spiritual one. We get so tied up with the things that are here. Too many of us are trying to have happy marriage our way and a human way, and too many of us are trying to fulfill life by using human methods and doing those things, but we can't. You know, I tell you, you can't adopt God's methods and, you know, man's methods and accomplish God's will. God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, and it is to be lived by spiritual principles. And that brings us to a question, where do we learn those spiritual principles? How do we separate the things of the world from things of God? And I tell you, God's given us very clear instruction. In John 18:37, as a part of that same context of what he's talking about being in the will of God and that, you know, he is king, he says, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. You see, so if we want to know the real truthful principles from God, where do they come? They come from the voice of God. So if we're going to live by kingdom principles, if we're going to live under the reign of the kingdom of God in our lives, then, folks, I tell you, we have to have some kind of absolute body of truth. Something that is true always and is not going to change. Well, I remember when I was doing substance abuse counseling, I went over to some kind of spiritual training we were supposed to be having and went over to the Universalist Church, and the pastor over there was supposed to be leading the conference, and he kept talking about truth changing. I finally, you know, had enough of it. It's hard for me to keep my quiet. And I finally stood up, interrupted him and said, truth don't change. Truth don't change. If it was true in the past, it's still true today and it's still true in the future. And I tell you, the God of the past is the God of the present. He's the God of the future. And he hasn't changed. And the rules of society and the thoughts of society and all of those things which now accept things that didn't used to be accepted, folks, it hadn't changed the heart of God. God is the same. If he said something was wrong back there in the creation of time and all through those ages, he still says it's wrong today. And it's going to be wrong when he brings this world to its final conclusion in Jesus Christ. Now, where are we going to learn those principles? We learn them from the Word of God. It is the Word of God. The Word of God is the Bible. It is inerrant. It is incapable of making an error. It is infallible. Folks, it always teaches the truth. And I'll tell you, anything in our lives that does not conform to the teachings of the Word of God is wrong. The Word of God is our standard. The Word of God is our guide. There's nothing logical that we can think of in this world that is going to change God's Word from being truth. There's nothing that we can do or think or any circumstances that is suddenly going to override the Word of God. This is God's Word. It is our standard. And, you know, sometimes we live our lives and we wonder why they're in such a mess. And it's because, you know, we live it because this is the way I feel. This is what I think. You know, my grandma told me that years ago, and that overrides what God says, I tell you. You know, so what? Folks, I'm telling you, what God says is always right. There is never a time when it's not right. There is never an excuse. And just because society has changed and says, well, this is now acceptable because that's what everybody's doing. Folks, if everybody else is doing it, it's wrong. What does God want us to do? He's the source, folks. If we live our lives only through the physical, what we can see and hear and touch and taste and smell and what we can grasp into this world, folks, you know, We're not addressing life according to the viewpoint of God, but we're addressing it according to the viewpoint of man. And we need to understand, folks, that that heaven rules the earth. What happens up there determines what goes on down here. And if we're out of touch with heaven, then we ought not to be surprised if our life is messed up down here. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn that lesson. You know the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon. Daniel was a wise man. He had a dream. He couldn't figure out what was going on. Of course, he called Daniel, and Daniel was able to interpret the dream, and he told him, you know, he said, Nebuchadnezzar, God's raised you up to a place of high position and honor, and you're supreme. You stand, you know, basically as the ruler of the greatest nation in the world and all of that. But he said, there's coming a day because you feel with such pride, God's going to take it away from you, and he's going to, send you into the field so you can eat grass and be like a cattle. But he's going to leave a stump there for you to come back. You know, now he had heard the prophecy of God, but he didn't believe it. One day he walked out on his roof, and he stood there out on the roof. He looked out over the kingdom of Babylon, and he said, is not Babylon the Great that I myself have built a royal residency by my might and my power and by my glory? And while the very word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven and says, King Nebuchadnezzar, it is as you declared. Sovereignty has been removed from you. You'll be driven from mankind and dwell in an outplace with a beast. And he spent years doing that, eating nothing but grass, drenched in dew, his hair grew out. Bible says it had grown out like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. But at the end of that period that God had determined, in verse 34, he said, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven and my reason returned to me. And what happened? I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him forever. For his dominion is everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of the heavens. And the minute he recognized that he was no longer king, and that God was sovereign Lord and ruled over the world, then his reason returned to him. His advisors and countrymen began to seek him out again, and God raised him back into the power. And in verse 37, he said, Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven. For all of his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. That's what I'm telling you. The kingdom comes from God. He's its source, and his dominion reigns forever. We need to live our lives in perspective of the things of heaven. The earth never overrides the spiritual. And then the second thing as a part of that is that not only the kingdom comes from God, but he's in charge of it as it operates. You know, when we adopt God's kingdom as our agenda, then we come under his sovereign rule. In Psalms 115:3, it says, But our God is in the heavens who does whatever he pleases. You know, it's amazing to me when we feel like we can tell God what he ought to do. When, God, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. If I was you, I wouldn't let this happen. If I was you, I wouldn't, I'd do things differently. And, I tell you something, when you adopt the kingdom of God, and move into the kingdom of God, you live under his agenda, not ours. We may not like it. But folks, I'm telling you, he's in charge. It's his kingdom. We don't even understand it. Now, the thing that comforts me in knowing that is that God has declared himself to be good, and he never does anything but what is good for us and will advance the kingdom of God and the glory of God into the future. So ultimately, we can always trust God to do what's right. So if our feelings or our thinking or our logic or all those things just don't seem, to be compatible with the things of God and we don't understand what God's doing, it doesn't change anything. God's still in charge. And his way is better than our way, no matter how good we think we are. Or what we are to do. He's always better. You know, it's sort of like you have a house, and God's given you all of this, and some guy walks into your house one day and looks around and says, I hate this furniture. I hate this solar scheme. It's all wrong. I think this is horrible looking. You know, honest truth, that other person's opinion is absolutely unimportant. It's irrelevant because he doesn't pay for the furniture and he didn't paint the walls. Other people may have opinions about our house. Well, I'll tell you, those opinions don't carry any weight with us. It's not theirs, it's ours. Folks, in a very real way, this, you know, God says, this is my house. You are my people. This is my world. This is my church. And it's supposed to operate by my rules. That means a man must adjust ourselves to the rule of God, or else we face the consequences of breaking those rules. And I tell you, his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and we'll never get to the place we understand everything there is about God. Living in God's kingdom brings all kinds of blessings, but, you know, but we don't get many of those blessings until we're willing to surrender to his rule in our lives. That means every day, not just Sunday. I don't want to get off on another sermon. You know, one of these days I'm going to, and I looked over it this week and thought about some reasons why, but pretty soon I'm going to preach a sermon while you're to attend every service. And some of you probably won't want to be here that day because God's going to talk to you, okay? Because, you know, basically all some of you ever do show up for worship. I don't know, some of you hadn't been in Sunday school 4 years, almost. I've been here 3.5 years. Some of you hadn't been in Sunday school a time. Not one time in Bible study in that 3.5 years. There's something wrong with that. Now people say, well, preacher's angry at us. He's fussing at us, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Well, I love you, and I'm not angry at you. I just want you to experience what God has for you, the best God has for you, you know, and doing it your way is not the best. God's ways is. We're to live by his kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says we're to set apart Christ as Lord in our lives. God's the source of the kingdom. He's in charge of it as it flows. It flows through him, and without him it wouldn't exist. And then third, he's the destiny. He's the glory. The kingdom of God is moving towards God. It is about his glory and about glorifying him. In Romans chapter 11, verse 36, is in the midst of a doxology that Paul gives after he talked about salvation and all that it means to really know Christ. And in the end, Paul couldn't really contain himself, and he burst into a doxology of praise, declaring who is like God and anything else. And then he closed that doxology with this words. He said, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The New English Bible translates that God is the source, the guide, and the goal of all that is, folks. God is to be everything. It all comes from him, it all operates through him, and it all is going to end in him. And anything that is lasting in this world, it's going to be because it was spiritual and it was lived under the rule of God, so that in the end, God will get the glory. That's a bottom line, folks, in the kingdom of God. Now, glory comes from the Greek word, which literally means to have weight. Heavy, you know. We were living in the black community, and a couple of guys talking. One of them looks at the other one and says, man, that's heavy, man. That's basically the idea and concept behind the word. When you think about God receiving the glory, he's the one who deserves it. He's the one who is worthy of it. You know. Now, if we think about the glory of God, God is glory within himself. There's an intrinsic glory about God. That is, God, you can't add anything to his glory, and you can't take away anything from his glory. He simply is glorious. You know, he is the exact representation of God. He is the exact radiance and representation of God, says Hebrews chapter 1. You know, there's no way you can diminish his glory. If you don't obey him, you don't take anything away from God. You lose yourself. You know, and if you do live for God, you're not adding anything to God, because God is glory within himself. And yet throughout Scripture, we are commanded all the time to glorify God, and we are to live under his kingdom, then we bring glory to God. That's the point that I started making. So how do we do that? Well, there's an ascribed glory from God. It is different than the intrinsic glory of God. It is a glory that can actually be given to God. But understand, that word glory, the very root word, the very original root word of that word glory, doxa in the Greek language, is light. To see something. It took me a long time to grasp that truth. You see, number one, God is glory in himself. You can add nothing to him. You can take nothing away from him. If you don't live for him, you don't change his glory. If you do live for him, you don't change his glory. But then we are commanded that we are to ascribe to him a glory. That is what? We are to live in such a way that when other people see us, they see God. So if we do something that is pleasing to God, that is obeying to God, that is living under the rule of God in our lives, and other people recognize that and see that, then what happens? They see God. So what happens? They see his glory. God is glorified because it has been revealed to us. The light has been made known. And, you know, the light bulb has come on in somebody else's eye because we've lived in such a way as to reflect the glory of God. We haven't changed God. But what God has done is that he's revealed himself to other people through us so that they can see God, and that brings glory unto God. It adds to him. Folks, that's our kingdom agenda. We are to live our lives in such a way that we want to radiate, reflect, demonstrate, magnify, or illustrate that God is glorious, that he is the king, and of his kingdom and dominion there is no end. Now, in the process of all that, see, it comes from God. It's God's in charge of it. It runs through him. It's going to end up one day in him. All things are going to be summed up one day in Jesus Christ and for the glory of God. But along the way, we need to understand that this kingdom operates according to God's will. Not ours, but God's. You cannot have the kingdom of God unless you're willing to submit to his rule and to his will. If you're willing to do the will of God, then I believe with all my heart you'll know God's will. And I want you to hear me. So many people are saying, what is God's will? How do I know God's will? Well, there's a lot of good principles, and I that's another message, but primarily, a lot of things are already spelled out for us in the will of God. This is the inerrant, infallible word of God. It is the truth. So if God's word says it, that's his will. There's never a time when it's different, never a time when it can change. It is his will. But there are a lot of things in our lives that we're saying, well, I'm just not sure about. What is God's will about this? What is God's will about that? And I'll tell you, Jesus said it in this way in John chapter 7. And verse 17. He said, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know the teachings, whether it is of God or whether I speak of myself. Folks, if we're willing, we will know what is God's will. That's what God's word says. The biggest problem we have in doing God's will is we're not willing. We have our own agenda. We have our own plans. We have our dreams about the future and where we are to go. And so we're afraid sometimes to really open ourselves up and say to God, God, I'm totally yours. Do with me anything you want. Lead me anywhere you want me to go. Do anything with my life you want to do with my life. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to surrender it to your will. When we become willing, folks, God will open up his will to us. You know, son, and it may not be doing anything different you're doing right now. It may be that you can keep on living, doing the same job, same circumstances, situation that you are now. It may be, though, that God will reach into your life and said, I got something better for you, and I want to move you on to something different, whatever. But I'm telling you, if you're willing to do what God says, He will bring you to that place where you need to be. And you'll know the will of God. You know, but we so often in our world today, we treat God like a, I don't know, I hadn't seen one of those things in years, but it was an old toy called Jack in the Box. Y'all remember those toys? Those of you that are old do. They played a little song, Pop Goes the Weasel. And so you turn the handle on the side of it, and then when it got to a certain place in the song, the lid would pop open and the little clown would jump out of it. You know, Pop Goes the Weasel. Well, you could stuff him back in there, shut the lid, and then start turning the handle again. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you something. So many people live just like that when it comes to God. We kind of stuff God down in a box until we need Him. Then we suddenly run and turn the handle and say, pop up, God, meet my need. Do what I want you to do now. Bless me, Lord, for I'm turning the handle. And then after it's all over, we stuff him back in the box because we don't need him anymore. God, come and do my bidding when I need you to. Otherwise, let me live my life the way I want to live it. But the kingdom of God says, not my will, but the will of Him who sent me. You want to be a kingdom person? You want to discover the will of God for your life? I believe with all my heart, I know from God's word, He's willing to reveal it to you. But we have to come to Him and surrender our ways to His ways. And then He'll show us. Two major things has to happen. Number one, if we don't know Christ, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, and all the stuff I'm talking about today doesn't make any sense at all. Because you're not a part of that. You're part of God's overall reign in this world, but you're not a part of that inner circle of the kingdom of God, those who've come to know God and have been brought under His dominion. But if you know you're lost and you know you need to be saved, then that's God calling you and speaking to you and saying, you need to come into the kingdom. You need to live under my rule. You need to live under me because I'll do what's best for you. I love you. That's why I died for you, and I'll save you and I'll redeem you, and I'll can give you the strength, the power to enable you to live the way God wants you to live. Come to me and trust me. Repent of your sin and trust me as your Savior. Folks, that's the decision you need to make. But then if we who are God's people, one of the reasons we don't have the power and the movement of God that we ought to have in this world is because we're not being obedient to Him. Peter said we are to sanctify, we're to set apart Jesus as Lord in our hearts. Look, we sang this morning about the grace of God, and I tell you, every one of us lives simply by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that God lets us get away with what we do. But He loves us and He's always calling us back unto Him. I think I've shared the story before, but I don't know, maybe some of you have read it in one of his books, but Tony Evans, who one of the great black preachers of our day, tells of having two dogs that were living at his house. He said, those weren't my two dogs. They were my sons. They belonged to my son, but when my son was not there, it fell to me to take care of them. So they had a good life, as dogs go. Said they had them two bad boys came out, found food sitting on their plate. They found fresh water in their bowl every day. They had a warm place to sleep. My son even went to a special store and bought special dog food just for those dogs so that they'd have the very best of everything. Said, one day I was trying to feed those dogs, And when I tried to get one of them to move while I fed it, that dog growled at me. He said, this is his words. He said, I looked at that brother and I thought, you're a fool. I'm here feeding you, watering you at no cost to you. I don't want to, don't need to do it, don't feel like doing it, and you're growling at me. So that dog didn't understand. It ate by grace. It drank by grace. It had a place to sleep by grace. And the only thing he should have been saying when I came out of there was, bow, bow, thank you. Folks, I'm telling you, we need to decide in our lives whether we're going to live by the kingdom of God or by our own way. So many times we look to God and we say, well, this is my food, this is my house, this is my drink, this is my life. I've worked for it, I've paid for it, I've done all this stuff. And I'll tell you something, folks, it all belongs to Him. We only live by the grace of God. We only have what we have by the grace of God. We can't say to God, it's what I want, what I desire, what I think, what I feel, what I believe. The only thing we can say is, thank you, God, for I'm living by your grace, and all I want to do is to walk in your will. And that's what I'm asking you today. Will you commit yourself to the pursuit of knowing God, realizing it'll mean that we have to set ourselves apart, set Christ apart as Christ as Lord in our hearts. As a Christian, one who really knows God, what you really want in life, what you really want in life comes only through a surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's hard for us to grasp that truth. It's hard for us to understand in the kind of world we live in today, which is always more and more and grab more and more. But I'm telling you, what we really want, the only thing that'll satisfy the depths of our being and our soul is to surrender ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So I'm asking you today, will you set aside your hearts? In your hearts, Christ is Lord. Will you trust Him? Some things might change in our lives if we got serious about that. The thing is, we've settled into a pattern, most of us in our Christian life, and we just kind of drift along. We do what we do sometimes simply because we know we ought to, out of a sense of duty or just supposed to do it. But we've kind of gotten a rut. And we know we're really not where we need to be in our relationship with God. Folks, there comes a point in life we have to make a decision. Are we going to go all in for God or not? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't talk about it, but I'm disturbed about our church right now. We've been through some real crisis times with the building, whatever. Doesn't seem to be able to get there. I'm going to tell you something. We had 33 people in Sunday school this morning. That is an absolute crying shame. I don't know what to do as your pastor. I prayed. I've asked God for help. I've begged people to come pray with me on Sunday morning. I sat over this morning and prayed by myself because nobody else will come. I'll tell you something, we better get serious about praying for our church. And some commitments to say, God, what's your will for us? If we want things to change, it's going to change only when we make a decision ourselves to say, God, I'm going to surrender to your Lordship. And some of you have made things in your past that, well, I'm just not going to do that. I'm just not going to come. I'm just not. You know, and so you've made up your mind. You're not going to be obedient to God. And and when God speaks to you, you just say, well, I've already decided I'm not going to do it. Now, what was I tell you? And then we wonder why there's no power in our lives. And the Bible says if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. We'll follow his leadership. We'll trust him. And with the deepest love I can have in my heart, I beg you to come and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. That's what we need. That's what it's going to take. That's the only thing that's going to bring power and victory and satisfaction. It's the only thing going to make your life what it ought to be. A surrender to his Lordship. We're going to have a moment of invitation. I'm going to ask Patty to come just play for a moment. I'm not going to sing right now at the beginning of this invitation. We will before we close. But I'm going to ask you, if you will today, are you really willing to let Lord Jesus be your Lord in your life and sanctify him? And I'm going to ask you to do that. To let God speak to your heart. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to sit there just for a moment as the piano plays in a time of prayer and let the Holy Spirit search your heart. And as God speaks to you this morning, as you have whatever you might call them, the impressions or the convictions that come from God in this moment, maybe to be saved, maybe to be a part of this church, maybe to surrender something in your life that you know shouldn't be there, maybe to be obedient to God in some area that you know you're not obedient in, maybe a sense of more faithfulness to God. And as God speaks to you through that conviction, will you surrender? As we stand, if God has spoken to your heart and you know that there's a decision you need to make, I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe you need to talk to me, maybe you don't. Come kneel, come sit, some, just make some indications. You say, Lord, today I give it up. I surrender to you. In the quietness of this moment, will you obey him and will you come?
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.